So let me read the passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Ecclesiastes 5, 15 to 20. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. So we have a look at the first three verses first, and then the last three verses. There is a contrast there. And two things that Solomon has seen, and in his wisdom he gives us advice to try and follow. What profit do we have from all we have labored for? Solomon says there is no profit at all, nothing. Naked we were born, and naked we will return to the ground. In other words, we brought nothing into this world and we are not taking anything with us when we go. Paul also, Apostle Paul developed this teaching, you know, came naked into this world, don't try and take anything away with you. So there is no profit to anything we do in this world. But actually, there is some profit, something that we earn through our labor. And Solomon highlights three things in verse 17. Three things: sorrow, anger, and sickness. This is all the only thing that we earn from our labor, nothing else. Sorrow, anger, and sickness. This is, sounds a bit off chart, or does it? Does it match our reality? Well, the point Solomon is making is very clear. It is pointless for us to focus on our labor. There is no value at all in focusing on what we do, our work, our achievements, no value at all. Yes, there is plenty of value today, but he looks at the whole picture and he scales the chart all the way to the end of his life, and he looks at what's going to happen in the end. I'm just going to go as I came, naked, you know, that's it. I can't take anything with me. So in his God-given wisdom, Solomon discovers a very different principle of life, something God has instituted at the very creation, that we need to focus our attention on. And he calls this principle, and you will find it repeated a few times, the gift of God. He calls this principle the gift of God. So before I move on to that, let me just point out there's another principle that Jesus uses in his Sermon on the Mount. And as I go through the Ecclesiastes, more and more I see how many teachings Jesus has drawn from and based his teachings on from the book of Ecclesiastes, actually. Jesus teaches us about, you know, worry. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. He's not quoting directly from Solomon, but the principle is certainly here. Solomon and Jesus agree that a different kind of lifestyle, different attitude to life is needed to what we usually see around us and experience. This kind of lifestyle is all about worry and stress and eventual illness. The lifestyle of accumulation of wealth that may vanish tomorrow, that causes a lot of grief and stress and anger and worry and even sickness. Jesus and Solomon both point out there is a different kind of life that we can choose to live. Not the life focused on our work and achievements, but the life focused on the gift of God. The gift of God. And in the last three verses of the reading that I read, Solomon evaluates a lifestyle, well, in the first three verses, he evaluates a lifestyle that is meaningless and pointless. And in the last three verses, or the next three verses, he offers an alternative lifestyle that brings meaning and joy to our lives. That is, if we choose to accept it. So, let's read those last three verses again. 5:18, verse 18. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun, all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. This is what Solomon says. I have observed many people in my day, and through the wisdom God gave me, I came to a very important conclusion about life. It is good and proper for us to eat and drink. Focus on the simple things of life that were there from the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. Enjoy the things that God gives, for it is our heritage or our inheritance. And there are two very important words, gift or giving, and heritage or inheritance. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul builds the whole idea of salvation on these two words, gift and inheritance. Salvation is a free gift we receive now. That's how he begins his epistles, and then leads to the idea that we are now eagerly awaiting our future inheritance on the new earth. So gift and inheritance. But the principle is the same behind it. It's a gift. It's not something you earn. And the principle of gift is one of the foundations of the creation. In the beginning, God gave Adam and Eve the gift of eternal life, which is given to them. They didn't have to work for it. He gave them the gift of sinlessness. They didn't have to work hard to be good, that they're just born that way. He gave them the gift of the Garden of Eden. He gave them the gift of marriage. He gave them the gift of Sabbath, and you can go on and on. It's all gifted. None of those things came to them through any kind of effort. It was the gift of God. And here, from the very beginning of the story, our God is revealed as a very specific kind of person. He is the giver of gifts. That's who he is. That's what he's like. And that's one of the bases upon which he bases our relationships. He wants to have a relationship with us. Our human tendency is to do something, you know, to fix something, to do something, to deserve something, to earn something. But as Martin Luther many centuries ago understood it from the scriptures, he realized that our relationship with God is based on the mutual exchange of gifts. God gives us all these things, and everything we are intend to give to God, we should never think it's something that you know we're obliged to do, or that we'll earn something through it, but just that God gives gifts to us, we need to emulate Him, and all the service we give to Him should be a free gift. He gives us gifts, we give Him gifts, and that's how the relationship works. So since they're created in God's image, Adam and Eve are also to emulate God's God Himself. Just as God has given His children these gifts, so were Adam and Eve to pass their gifts to their children. Exactly the same. It was a wonderful plan. Wonderful plan. So these two words, gift and inheritance, or gift and heritage, they come together, one in one, as a package. And that's also how the Apostle Paul uses it. Now, initially, the children of Adam and Eve were supposed to inherit all the good things, a perfect genetic makeup, flawless chromosomes and genes, perfect health, physical and spiritual, without any defect, disease or weakness. This is the gift that is passed on, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're born, it's not your choice. Somebody else gave you life. It's not something we earn nor choose. It was given to us even before we became conscious. But because of sin, because things broken down, everything was affected with the curse of the ground. So everything that comes from the ground, including us, and our genetic structure became deteriorating and decaying like everything else. So unfortunately, the principle of the gift or inheritance, while it is great in the world without sin, disease, suffering, and death, it is not so great when you live in a broken world. Because when we pass on things to our children, they're still gifts, but they may not be such good gifts anymore. So in our broken world, the principle of the gift or inheritance is not necessarily so great anymore. But God has not changed His will, His laws established at the creation. The principle of the gift and inheritance still remains. This is one of the key laws of His kingdom. So we see a small child born with cancer. Someone gets really upset about it, angry with God and all kinds of things. This is not due to child's choice or diet or lifestyle. There is no time for any of these things to happen. This has been inherited from the parents. So what do we say? Inheritance is great if you have sensible parents. To inherit a mortgage-free property, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But to be a child of a gambler, wasted all his money and became indebted, and then you inherit a debt you have to repay. It's still a gift, it's passed on as inheritance, but it's not so great of a gift, is it? So in the ideal world, the principle of the gift or inheritance is wonderful, but in the broken world it may backfire. And God will not change who He is just because things did not work out. And because we suffer in this world, it's very clear that He is not changing who He is. He is the great gift giver, and that will never change. And He also made us to function like this, and that will never change. That is why we struggle so much when we try to live a different kind of life, not based on the principle of the gift. We have to earn and deserve and earn and deserve and achieve and earn and deserve. And we're just, you know, trapped in a vicious cycle. The principle is good, but the circumstances and the environment may look like it is evil, what is happening, this principle. But it's not evil. To give a gift, how can that be evil? Things have gone wrong, but the principle is good. God told His people through Moses that they should never, never, ever sell their land. The land was apportioned to each family in Israel, yes? As a gift. And it was to be passed on to their children, so they didn't have to worry about mortgage and all that nonsense. And, you know, it just comes to you as a gift. You don't have to. worry about in that kind of system. So many people think, oh, I just need to pay my mortgage off. Pay it off, and then I can enjoy myself and everything will be fine. Just because you pay your mortgage off doesn't necessarily guarantee that other life's calamities will not come upon you. And sometimes everything seems perfectly fine, things just work out and then things go terribly wrong. That's the experience we have when we look all around us. This is what Solomon says. In all of our labors, we have much sorrow and anger and sickness. That's his conclusion. These are the things that we earn through our labors. Sorrow, anger, and sickness. So Solomon figures out, and then later Jesus says the same thing in his own words. Why are we so worried about these things if at the end of our life we lose everything anyway? Is it just going to go? So today we are so stressed, fear of loss, fear of all kinds of things. At the end it's going to go. We cannot take it with us. Why are we so worried then? Next verse, verse 19. It says, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, again, heritage, and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Can you see that's what Solomon is just driving, that one principle? Heritage, inheritance, the gift of God. So this is the alternative lifestyle he's talking about. So, he mentioned the principle of gift four times in this verse. Given, heritage, gift. What kind of a gift a person has who has riches and wealth? Solomon says they have a gift from God. Is this something that God has given them at a specific point in life? Is it something they're born with? Is it a specific set of skills? Is it nature? Is it nurture? Is it both? Well, it doesn't matter which one it is. The point is, it is the gift from God. It's not something we have worked up together or created ourselves. This did not come by person's choice. You see somebody getting rich, very skilled, and can do all kinds of things. It's not just a choice. It's in the essence of the person. It was given as a gift. It didn't come through effort, labor, work. This is not something that has been achieved. It is the gift of God, Solomon says. I suppose we could think of the gifts of the Spirit in the same way. Some have these kind of gifts, some have the other kind of gifts. And some people even say some of the gifts of the Spirit come by birth. At the time of the birth, some come supernaturally later on in life. It doesn't matter. The source is the same, and in both cases, the principle is the gift. These are things that are given to us by God. Some people are born with a massive personality. You know, you make success in Hollywood. I don't know, many different walks of life. And sometimes people behave as if it is something they have achieved. And, you know, this, I have worked really hard and blah, blah. And they don't see it as a gift. You know, it's just that's who you are. It's not what you work, that's who you are. Some people have the opposite personality. And sometimes they behave as if they don't have any kind of gift. But all of us have been given something by God. All of us have been given a gift or gifts from God. None of us can make it without it. So in Solomon's manifesto, there is no place for a statement like, I have worked really hard for it. No, Solomon says, all you think you have worked for, you will lose it in the end. And what we have actually worked for and have accomplished in your life experiences, grief, anger, stress, worry, which eventually leads to illness. God comes to us and says, here is a gift. And, you know, our proud nature, we are too proud to take it. We want to play a part in it. We want to feel like we have done something. And then we feel good about it. We want to earn it for ourselves with our own effort. Isn't that much difference from what Lucifer was trying to do in heaven? Gaining independence from God, just withdrawing from God, moving away from God. And that's the principle. He didn't want to run according to the thing, according to the plan that God set in place in the first time, at the beginning. So what is the greatest gift God has given us? The greatest gift. That's Himself, sir. It's Himself. Salvation through Jesus Christ. In Him, through Him, with Him, the gift of eternal life. Is it an accident that we celebrate the gift of salvation through eating and drinking? Is that an accident? What Solomon is recognizing in Ecclesiastes. I see that this is the gift of God. The simple things of life, not, you know, excess and crazy things, but, you know, bread, wine, fish and chips, blah, blah, blah. The basic things of life. God has given us these things. We don't have to chase, they come, you know, chase these things. Is it any different in principle from what Solomon describes in his book, what we do in our community service? We consider these things to be the gift of God, don't we? Verse 18, that's the last verse, 5:18. Actually, I read it already. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for man to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun, all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. So the very bread and the wine that we drink and eat, these things demonstrate the principle that Solomon is talking about, the principle of the gift of God. God invites us to partake of it, and not only to partake of it, but to enjoy it and rejoice in it. And we struggle, we talked about this earlier, we struggle to believe. We struggle to believe. It's not in our nature to be this way. And Jesus brings the two realms together, the physical and the spiritual. He fed the people, he healed the people, but he always wanted to lift them higher and teach them a spiritual message through the bread and the fish and the healers. And in participating in the very first Lord's Supper, he takes bread and wine and he says to his disciples, as Solomon says, these are the gifts from God. It's the gift. It's the gift. You don't have to work for it. And now he upgrades Solomon's teaching and he tells them that through these things, as Solomon said, there are the gifts for this life, material gifts, but I upgrade this to say that above and beyond this, these are also spiritual gifts, because these are the gifts that give us eternal life. All these things point to me. Through the bread and through the wine, we also receive the gift of forgiveness, which you all need on a daily basis. And that's why Jesus puts it in the daily prayer that we pray for forgiveness. Not once a week or once a year, but on a daily basis. It is not a business transaction. Sometimes we point the cross. Yeah, Jesus died so we can be forgiven. It's not a transaction. It's a gift, forgiveness. And if we want to emulate God, the great giver of all good gifts, and if we want to emulate Christ, we should also try and give forgiveness to others as gift. Let's try not to make them wait until they earn it or deserve it. Because it's not a gift anymore, you have to work with it, do you? But let us learn from Solomon, from Jesus, that this life, as God intended it, is based on the principle of the gift. And as God has freely given us gifts, such which is food and drink, even eternal life. Let us also relate to God and relate to other people in the same way, and give them freely the gifts that we have. God bless you.